Thank you for downloading our podcast. Please be edified through this sermon from our pulpit supply while Pastor Paul Lindemulder enjoys a week off.
Well, brothers and sisters, we're looking at the second recorded stoning in the Old Testament this morning. And again, this is probably not actually everybody's life verse. This is a sad story. The first stoning happened back in Leviticus. It was that little half-Egyptian boy who blasphemed, and they stoned him to death. And now the second stoning is a Sabbath breaker who gathers sticks on the Sabbath and is stoned because he breaks the law. Our passage this morning is the story of Yahweh's wrath punishing sin. And it's the story of sin earns death. But what we'll see here, even in our text this morning, is the truth that even this story was meant to drive us to Jesus Christ. So our theme this morning as we look at our text is high-handed sinners need to die cursed deaths outside the camp. You should believe in Jesus. High-handed sinners need to die accursedly outside the camp. You should believe in Jesus. And we'll look at it in 3 points. First, high-handed sin is cureless, that is, without cure, and cursed. Secondly, high-handed sinners need to die a cursed death, cut off and killed outside the camp. And thirdly, Christ is the goal of the law, as Romans 10 tells us. So high-handed sin is cureless and cursed. High-handed sinners need to be cut off and killed. And thirdly, Christ is the goal of the law. So first, high-handed sin is cureless and cursed. There's no cure for what the Sabbath breaker has done. There's no cure for it. And we know there's no cure because of what has just been declared. If you have your Bible still open with me, turn to Numbers 15 and look at the preceding paragraph. The preceding section, verses 22 through 30, 22 through 31, are Yahweh speaking to Moses and telling him to tell the children of Israel how to deal with unintentional sin. How to deal with unintentional sin. Yahweh tells Moses, there is a sacrifice to take away unintentional sin. If the whole people sins, what you do is you grab a goat and you grab a bull and you sacrifice it and cover for the unintentional sin of the whole people. If an individual sins unintentionally, you take a female goat and you cure the individual's sin. You cover the individual's unintentional sin. But then, a sad verse, Numbers 15:30, there is no mercy for high-handed sin. The person who does anything with a high hand, whether he is native or a sojourner, reviles the Lord. And that person shall be cut off from among his people because he has despised the word of the Lord and has broken his commandment. And so that person shall be utterly cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. Now one might ask, what exactly is high-handed sin? What is high-handed sin? The answer is it's the opposite of unintentional sin. If unintentional sin is sinning on accident, then the opposite of sinning on accident is sinning on purpose. High-handed sin is presumptuous sin. It's the opposite of sinning on accident. It's doing it on purpose, deliberately, intentionally and presumptuously. And we know that what this guy did was intentional. What this guy did was high-handed because they caught him. Our text this morning tells us that while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they discovered a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath. They caught him. They found him. They busted him. He is sneaking and they catch him. Innocent people doing innocent things do not need to sneak. Innocent people doing innocent things aren't caught. Because if you're doing innocent things, you do them in the open. Our Lord tells us in John 3 that wicked men love the darkness because it hides their evil deeds. And this man loved the darkness because he was trying to hide his evil deeds. This guy knows what he's doing. He's hiding it. And they catch him. He's been discovered. And not only do we know that this is high-handed on purpose sin, because this guy was sneaking and they caught him, we know it's high-handed on purpose sin because of what Yahweh has already commanded about the Sabbath. We know that in Exodus 16, Yahweh told the Israelites, don't even do cooking on the Sabbath. Do your boiling, your baking, and your fire gathering and your manna gathering the day before so that you can set this day aside as holy. In Exodus 20 and 23, Yahweh tells the people to make sure nobody does work, not the Israelites, not the strangers, and not the animals. In Exodus 31, Yahweh says, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you and throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death.'" This is in Exodus, not Numbers. This is two books before. "Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever." And in Exodus 35, Moses assembled all the congregation of the people and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you. 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling place on the Sabbath day." In Leviticus 23, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. Do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. And in Leviticus 26, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord." Yahweh has been very clear what he already commanded. This is high-handed sin because it's completely contrary to the command. This is his holy day, and the Israelites are supposed to keep it really strictly. The pattern for Israelites was Leviticus 16, "Afflict yourselves and keep my Sabbaths." The Sabbath was a day of afflicting yourself with rest. When the Synod of Dort met, one of the points that they came up with that they understood the Sabbath to mean was that the ceremonial law bound the Jews to truly rigid and strict observation of seventh-day rest. The ceremonial part of the law was designed to be inconvenient. The Sabbath day, as given at Sinai, in the ceremonial part, was supposed to be full of standstill that hurt. And yet this guy is out there gathering sticks. This is blatant disregard for the law. This is high-handed sin at its most blatant. And this is high-handed sin that is cureless. This is without cure. There's no cure for it. Like Yahweh already said in Numbers 15:30, his iniquity is going to be upon him. And it is upon him. When the people gather together, when the witnesses bring this stick gatherer on the Sabbath forward, and they lock him up, and it says, "It has not been declared what to do." The point there is not that Yahweh hasn't commanded or that they don't understand the commands. The point is that Yahweh the judge is coming to pronounce judgment. They're not locking him up because they're ignorant of what God wants them to do. They're locking him up because Yahweh the judge is coming to his courtroom to declare guilty. Because high-handed sin is cureless. And not only is it cureless, it is cursed. High-handed sin is cursed. When Yahweh the judge comes to pronounce the curse, he uses the same words we see in the garden. You can't really see it in our English translation, but if you look at verse 35 of Numbers 15, when Yahweh speaks, he more literally says, "Dying, this man shall be put to death." And what we're supposed to see when we read that is an allusion to Genesis 2. In Genesis 2 in the garden, God says to Adam, "On the day you eat of the tree, dying you will die." This is Yahweh pronouncing the curse of death upon high-handed sin, upon a disobedient covenant breaker, a law breaker. This man has disobeyed the law and he has merited the curse. This man has failed his test. He has failed the probation. And he has earned death. He earned curses for disobedience. Dying, he shall surely die. High-handed sin is not just cureless, it is cursed. And that brings us to point two. It's not only cureless and cursed, but high-handed sinners need to be cut off and killed. There's no cure and there's only curse for High Henderson, and that means they need to drag him outside and kill him. We already read multiple times that Yahweh commanded high-handed sinners and Sabbath breakers need to die. This is an illustration of what the author to Hebrews tells us, that he who disregards Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. The Sabbath breaker needs to die without mercy outside the camp on the evidence of the people who caught him. And not only does he need to die, he needs to die a cursed death. He needs to die a cursed death because high-handed sin is cursed. And he needs to die cut off and isolated. Yahweh tells the whole congregation they need to stone him with stones. And in Exodus 19, God tells us the point of stoning. What is stoning? Stoning is declaring that this person is so filthy, we do not dare touch them even while we kill them. I'm going to throw a rock from here to there, and it's going to hit him, and my hands will not touch him because I do not want to touch him. I could get what he has. Yahweh commands they need to stone this man with stones because they need to kill him with a cursed, cut-off death. He needs to die like trash, taken out like trash and purged out of the camp because he is cursed. The command for high-handed sin in Numbers 15:30 and the command for Sabbath breakers in Exodus 31 is the same. They need to die cut off from the people. This man needs to be taken out like trash. It's clear he's not in. He's not one of us. He has no business being in the land, and he has no business in new creation. This is what willful sin earns. Willful sin earns death outside the camp. And this man was under keep the Sabbath and live. And he did not keep the Sabbath, and he must not live. Because he's sinning and he's breaking the covenant. He's reviling Yahweh. It's breaking his holy law, and it's a sin committed against his supreme majesty, and it must be punished with the supreme penalty, death. Dying he shall die. Curse him. Kill him. The gathering of Israel in the land that they're supposed to live in is a picture of, for us, of new creation. Israel was a picture of new creation. And the scriptures tell us who belongs in new creation. The person who belongs in new creation is the lawkeeper. The person who can ascend the holy hill of God is the truth-telling, clean-handed, pure-hearted, promise-keeping, covenant-obeying, blessing-earning, covenant-keeping man of Psalm 24. He's the King of Glory who can ascend the holy hill. And that's who the law and Moses tell us is worthy to go up God's hill and live in God's presence. But what Numbers 15 tells us, Numbers 15, 32 through 36, tells us what to do with the rest of us. The rest of us need to die cursed outside the camp. Numbers 15 ends with even more law. Look with me, if you have your Bibles open, to the next little section. Verses 37 to the end are more law. After they stone this man, Yahweh says this. He says, be sure to put tassels on the ends of your garments. Little blue tassels, so that you look down at them as they hit your ankles and remember every day, do this and live. Put on the tassels. Look at them. Be holy. Keep the commandments. Remember what you just did remember what you just did to the stick gatherer. Do, earn, work, look, and live. But brothers and sisters, if that were our application today, if the application were go home and do your best not to sin really on purpose, go home and be holy enough to live, go home and will yourself into keeping the law, go home and keep the Sabbath hard enough, if that were our application, we could go to the nearest synagogue and we could proclaim that message and get applause. If that were our application, go be good enough to live, go just try not to do anything on purpose, we would be headed into the hardest week, the hardest day, the hardest hour, the hardest minutes, and the hardest microseconds of our lives. And we would be dead before we went out those doors. Because if that were our application, we are already guilty. We sinned in Adam. Adam and Eve knew what they were doing. They took that fruit on purpose. They knew full well what they were doing. And they hid afterward. And Yahweh caught them. They were sneaking and Yahweh caught them. And everyone who's born to Adam and Eve deserves dying. He shall be put to death. Put to death outside the garden. Put to death outside the land. Put to death outside new creation. Put to death outside the camp. And put to death in hell forever. And you and I know what we're doing in our daily lives. You know what you did this week. I know what I did this week. We have not done the things we ought to have done, and we did the exact things we should not have done. Wretched man is us. Thanks be to God. If you and I try and say that any of us have never sinned on purpose, we make Yahweh a liar, and the truth is not in us. Every single one of us have sinned intentionally. And if the message here were watch yourself closely and wear the tassels or we'll stone you, we'd leave under curse. We would leave cursed and die cursed, and we would get the stones. But point three, Christ is the goal of the law. Christ is the end of the law. Romans 10, Christ is the goal of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Moses writes about a righteousness based on the law, but faith grasps Christ and receives his righteousness. Those who embrace Christ by faith will be saved from the death our high-handed sins deserve, because he is the cure for high-handed sin. Christ is the cure for high-handed sin for high-handed sinners. Christ is the one who wore the tassels but got the stones. We know that Christ did everything commanded of him in the law of Moses. He kept every part of it and never broke any of it. He even had those little tassels. Maybe you'll remember the healing of the woman with the flow. How is she healed? She touches his tassels. Christ wore the tassels, and it's a symbol of the fact that every day that he walked this earth, he looked at these and he kept the law perfectly. He obeyed. And yet he's the one who died outside the camp without mercy. Christ is the one who never sinned accidentally, let alone high-handedly, and yet Yahweh made him to be sin for us, that we would become his righteousness. Christ died outside the camp. Yahweh told him, dying, you shall be put to death, and you will be cut off from the land of the living for the transgression of my people. Hebrews tells us that Christ is the one who suffered outside the gate and outside the camp, taken out like trash outside the camp, cut off, to make his people holy by his blood. He was truly cut off so that those of us who look to him in faith will never be cast out. Christ was always the goal and end of this story. Christ is the one Yahweh gave us. And Christ is the one to whom Yahweh was pointing when he gave us this terrible story of a horrible death. They stoned somebody, and he points us to Christ. We were supposed to read this and look at our own sinful hearts, look at our own willful sin, and say, I need to trust in the one who's going to be cut off for me. And that's what David did. In Missoula, we've been going through in the mornings the life of David in 1 and 2 Samuel. And you'll notice something very peculiar. David commits a sin that's not only high-handed, but it's adultery. He should have been stoned. And when Nathan comes to him, Nathan says instead, you will not die. That's the words of Nathan to David. You will not die. But the reason that David can get that sentence, the reason David can get you will not die, is the cursed death of Christ. The reason David can plead mercy and covenant love and forgiveness according to your hesed in Psalm 51. The reason that David can plead, Lord, do not enter into judgment with your servant in Psalm 143. Or Lord, do not rebuke me in your wrath in Psalm 6. And all over the Psalms. The reason David can plead any of this is because of the cut off cursed death of Christ. because he read Numbers 15 and he trusted in the seed of the woman who would be cut off for him. Because David was united to Christ by faith through the sign of his circumcision. See, circumcision was always a picture of being cut off and killed and thrown out. It was always pointing forward to that seed of the woman who would come from Abraham. And that's why Paul calls Christ's death our circumcision. We have the circumcision of Christ, his death on the cross. Christ was crucified. He died outside the camp for incurable, high-handed sins. Christ wore the tassels and got the stones. Christ earned blessed life and he received cursed death. And in him, the only unpardonable sin is unbelief in so great a deliverance. But not only is Christ the one who wore the tassels and got the stones, Christ is the goal of this story because Christ fulfilled the Sabbath and Christ is our Sabbath. Christ kept the Sabbath. He fulfilled the Sabbath as the true Sabbath keeper. He kept it truly by loving his neighbor on the Sabbath, by loving and desiring mercy on the Sabbath, by revealing the true heart of the Sabbath and loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength on the Sabbath and loving his neighbor as himself on the Sabbath. See, that's a big contention in the Gospels. A big contention is the Pharisees come to Christ over and over and accuse him, "You have broken the Sabbath." And over, Christ reveals, "I'm the heart of the Sabbath. I'm the goal of the Sabbath." And not only did Christ keep the Sabbath, he is the Sabbath. Our Heidelberg Catechism reminds us that the fourth commandment, the commandment, keep the Sabbath day holy, is about more than just keeping the rules and enforced relaxation. Now, that's important. It is important to rest on the Sabbath, but the Sabbath is about more. It's about how God wills that all my life I rest from my evil works and let God by his Holy Spirit work in me and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. In commenting on this passage before us today, John Calvin reminded us that the Sabbath always pointed to Christ. What God commanded with regard to the seventh day had another goal. Not only that the Israelites should employ themselves in meditating upon Yahweh's works, but that renouncing themselves and renouncing their own works, they should live to God. Rigid Sabbath observance in the Old Testament was always, always, always designed to point to Christ. Rigid Sabbath observance under the ceremonial law was always supposed to make believers renounce themselves, renounce their evil works, meditate upon the works of God and the future work of Christ, and make their rest and rest their hope in Christ. They were to rest in Christ as a result of receiving the Sabbath. And Christ is our Sabbath because he's the one who gives us rest. Christ is the one who gives us rest from our evil works, like the Heidelberg says, by freeing us from the curse of the law and from the works of the law. Christ gives us true rest by indwelling us by his Holy Spirit and beginning to sanctify us so that we more and more begin to rest from our evil works. Christ is the one who molds us into his image and makes us participants in the eternal Sabbath. He makes us into people who truly rest from trust in ourselves, trust in our works, trust in our worthiness. And he's the one who turns us to himself and his works in worthiness. And that's why Christ could say, "Come to me and I will give you real rest." Christ is your rest. He's your obedience. He is your death. And so the application today is not go home and try harder. The application is not make sure you don't do something really blatantly bad this week. The application today is receive this and rest. Receive this and rest. The application is the same application from every page of Scripture. Believe in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Cast your deadly doing down at the feet of Jesus. Because in Jesus, you no longer do rest as a work. You have rest as a free gift. Christ is your worthiness and rest. He lived the tassel-wearing life you did not live. He died the cursed outside the camp cut-off death that you did not die. And so you can stake the hope of all your eternity on him. In him, Yahweh declares to you, living you will live. Living you will live inside the camp, in New Jerusalem and Zion, on the holy hill of the Lord in Christ, and in Yahweh's tabernacle with his people forever. Amen.
Thank you for subscribing and listening to our podcast. We hope and pray that our sermons encourage you as you sojourn on your Christian walk. If you have any questions about our church, please contact our pastor through our webpage, urcbelgrade.com. That is urcbelgrade.com. We also have many sermon series archived and available for download on our website, urcbelgrade.com. Until we meet again, may the Lord's blessing and peace be upon you.